Prime Time Replay from Money FM 89.3. Career 360, hosted by Howie Lim and Bernard Lim, only on Money FM 89.3.
Thanks for staying with us on Money FM 89.3. Now, as the world enters the era of Industry 4.0, the role of institutes of higher learning to impart knowledge and skills is set to grow in importance, serving not only youth but also mature workers or adult learners seeking to adapt to the changing nature of work.
Well, NUS President Professor Tan Eng Chai emphasized recently NUS's support for the government's Skills Future movement, which will allow every Singaporean to take advantage of the opportunities presented by Industry 4.0.
So to tell us more is Professor Susanna Leong, Vice Provost, Master's Program and Lifelong Education at the National University of Singapore. Professor, thanks for coming today. So Professor Leong, Professor Tan talked about how during the dot-com era, Asia could only marvel at the success of tech giants such as Amazon, eBay, Google and the like as they took the world by storm. But today, Asia is also home to innovation, industries, markets, consumers. How has NUS kept up with the need to educate and prepare the workforce to keep pace with Industry 4.0, Professor?
Thank you very much for having me. NUS is committed to serving our students and alumni over their entire career span by providing ready access to skill-based, industry-relevant courses necessary for upskilling or reskilling so that they remain competitive and continue to make significant and meaningful impact on the economy. So we are pioneering a new model of education based on the concept of students for life in NUS.
And how will the curriculum in NUS's various programs equip workers to work alongside tech and not be replaced by it?
That seems to be the rhetoric, Professor Leong, or the fear that a lot of us have.
Right. The we have to start with our students when they are with us in school. The module requirements of the undergraduate program, for example, the NUS, provide a structure to ensure broad-based learning combined with the depth of specialization. So you can envisage a T-shaped design in terms of the curriculum, whether the horizontal is the university level requirements in which we aim to broaden a student's intellectual horizon to develop critical and creative thinking skills and all the soft skills. And the vertical would be the deep set of knowledge in their respective domains which they need. Forward going, we feel that it is not enough just to rely on one deep set of skills and knowledge. And so we encourage our students to read double majors, double degrees, and majors and minors to broaden their skills and knowledge. So for example, a business student or a law student will be able to do a second major in business analytics, data analytics, and so on.
Yes. Give us another example. So decades ago, when Bernard and I were in school, for example, Bernard, when you were at NUS, you did what?
Yeah, I did two majors during my last years.
Right, yeah. Right.
And they were?
And they were English Lang and Economics.
Right.
Well, so, for example, now the curriculum might have changed to include other things to better prepare
them?
So,
in a sense, now we are able to allow students to cross over to other faculties, not just limiting them to their own parent institution. Faculty in that sense.
So, for example, I did English and English literature. Perhaps it would have been a better idea to have picked a major that could have been data analytics.
Exactly.
Okay.
I see.
Exactly. So, what were some of the key takeaways, though, at the recently held Skills Future Festival at NUS themed Industry 4.0 and the Future of Skills, Professor?
A couple of points. Number one, Industry 4.0 is upon us, it is here to stay. And will have a far-reaching impact on all of us, impacting all sectors of the economy, not just limited to manufacturing. That's number one. Number two, whilst many fear that I4.0 will lead to widespread unemployment, we must remember that new job opportunities will also be created. So the need for manual and routine work will be reduced, but at the same time, new jobs such as data scientists, AI specialists, apps developers, cybersecurity specialists, social media managers, cloud service specialists, and so on. These are being created. And as individuals, we should therefore get ourselves ready so that we remain relevant, competitive, and be in a position where with enabling technology, we can transform ourselves, transform our companies, increase productivity, and create greater value.
Mm. Well, Professor Leong, what are some of the trends in the CET space? I mean, which stands for Continuing Education and Training, the CET space, or which we should be mindful of?
Okay, I would just perhaps focus on one, to me, particularly important observation, and that has to do with information explosion and information half-life. Information is exploding at a phenomenal rate, but although information itself is growing exponentially, the half-life of knowledge of facts is decreasing. And by the half-life of knowledge, I refer to the amount of time that has to elapse before half the knowledge in a particular area is superseded or shown to be untrue. So scholars and researchers have opined that a century ago, it would take, for example, 35 years for half of what an engineer learned when earning their degree to be disproved or replaced. Mm. By the 1960s, the time span shrank to a mere decade.
Mm.
Modern estimates now place the half-life of an engineering degree at between 2.5 and 5 years.
Wow.
So it's almost the same as right. Professor Leong with skills.
Right, exactly. Skills, and even for skills. To some, half-life of skills is even diminishing at even faster rate.
Mm. 3 months.
Yeah, in fact, you know, when we visited a high-tech company recently, we were told that the half-life of their skills and knowledge is 18 months.
Wow.
And it
one
takes,
and a half years.
It takes 11 months to train their workforce.
Oh,
and they only have 7 months left
to use the skills.
Oh, yeah,
dear.
Before it is superseded.
Oh,
and
got,
so this to me is an important point to note. And it really means that, you know, a college degree, an undergraduate degree will be out of date very, very quickly.
Very quickly, yeah.
And this also therefore means with the decreasing half-life of knowledge, lifelong learning is all the more important.
Critical.
So let's be students our whole lives,
especially,
so to speak, right?
Exactly.
But is it different, though, for an adult learner as they pursue staying relevant and upskilling? Different from, say, an undergraduate?
I think unlike undergraduate who is able to devote all his time, you know, very single-mindedly to the pursuit of knowledge and to learning, the adult learner has the added challenge of working full-time and having to manage all the other demands in his or her life, for example, raising a family. Mm. And the other thing is that the learning for adult learners is also different in a sense that they are more focused and targeted, specifically to solve their problems at work. Mm. So in many ways, the adult learner's learning is often very self-directed. This is quite different from the undergraduate. Yeah.
I understand. Well, we're talking to Professor Susanna Leong, Vice Provost, Master Program in Lifelong Education at the National University of Singapore. Well, Professor, tell us, what exactly do adult learners need to do in order to stay relevant, and which areas should be our focus for them?
I think the adult learner must be more keenly aware of the half-life of his knowledge and skills that he can acquire new and relevant ones. And it appears that digital skills now is almost like a hygiene factor. Mm. And that, is something that adult learners should try to pick up.
I think the rhetoric has been that we've had some trouble with defining digital skills. It goes beyond, say, being able to use a laptop,
right,
being able to surf on the internet.
Right.
What might your definition be?
I think it's also how to make sense of data, how to draw inferences and so on. And so in NUS, we have a module entitled Quantitative Reasoning. And this is something in which all our students can read. And this is a course that will help them learn and make sense of data, which is so important now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm curious, Professor, how do you personally, keep up and stay relevant? I mean, how challenging has it been for you yourself?
Your selfie is so ugly. You know, it's sometimes the rhetoric we get.
I think I am fortunate to be in a university environment. As a law professor, I must constantly keep up with the changes in the law to stay relevant for my students. My research writings have helped me to keep abreast with the latest developments in intellectual property law, which I am, you know, working in. So with so many demands and commitments on my time, it has not been easy. But my love and passion for the law has spurred me on. On reflection, I think that, you know, I have always looked upon challenges that I have encountered in my professional life as opportunities to learn and to reinvent myself. And by doing so, I hope that I will be able continuously to contribute meaningfully in my roles.
Professor Leong, how, though, can an adult learner mitigate the challenges which may arise from upskilling and reskilling if they've not all this time, hint, hint, me, they finally want to get started. They finally realize, oh, dear, half-life of skills is 18 months.
So I would say to them, please, you know, take the first step, be not afraid, and it is not too late. I would be very shamelessly now saying that please visit the NUS Scale website and look at our offerings and maybe start with many of the Begin With Me series. They are all the one-day programs, you know. For example, chatbot development begins with me, data analytics, you know, begins with me, and so on and so forth.
Sort of a 101 almost.
Yeah, almost 101.
Okay.
Yeah.
Professor Suzanne Leong, Vice Provost Master's Program and Lifelong Education at the National University of Singapore. Professor, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks very much for having me.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.